Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It's Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Joe, and thank you for those that are returning. I'm going to do just a bit of a recap of what we spoke about last week for some that are not there. I'll just go quickly through those ones. Our main scripture is Proverbs 30, verse number 19. Proverbs 30, verse number 19 says, "The way of an eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon a rock, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." And we say that everything that is being referred there says that everything has a way. There is a way of man, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but it leads unto death. So there is a way for everything. And our thesis is this, that there is a way of your gift. There is the way of your gift. And Proverbs 18:16 says, "A man's gift maketh room for him and brings him before great men." So your gift is going to make room for you. Just to explain that verse, your gift has a specific place that it has been called by God to operate in. But that gift requires a human entity to be able to function. And the assumption is this: there is only one legal entry into earth, and that is through the womb of a woman. If Jesus was to come in his fullness without the birth by the Virgin Mary, it would be an illegal entry. So he had to be born as a baby. There is only one person who was formed in his fullness, and that is Adam, followed by Eve. So your gift has a place that it has to operate in. Your gift needs you, and you need the gift to go into the place where your gift is going to make room for you. We are going to explain some of those things as we go along. And we say that we do not make the gifts, as Pastor Joe was saying. We do not create the gifts. We can desire the gifts, and the gifts are given by God. Somebody say amen. Then we mentioned the idea that every gift has a context, and the context has to do with time. The Bible usually says in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come. So there's an element of time. And we said your gift has a place. Do not leave Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. You will do your ministry in Jerusalem, then you shall go to Judea, then all the ends of the earth. So there is a specific place. And then we said that there is a process. The process, I think there has been a misapplication of saying we are developing the spiritual gift. We are literally not developing the gift, but we are growing into the gift. So God has already defined the fullness and the full measure of the gift, but he's waiting for us to grow into it so we can become a full expression of that gift. And we say there is the glory. When we say the glory of a gift is when you become a full expression, a full manifestation of that gift. And that is coming from the premise of John 1, verse number 14. "And the Word became flesh." So in John says, "And we beheld the glory of God." Then we say that we are privileged to be in an apostolic house. There is no other place I'd rather be than Christian Tabernacle. It's the greatest place on earth. I don't know whichever church you are coming from, but this one right here is the best place on earth. We say that there's an apostolic house, and there are certain things that happen in an apostolic house, whichever one you're coming from. There are specific things that happen with your gift. Number one, there is the identification of your gift. What are you gifted to do? The second thing is the activation. You can have a gift, but if your gift is not activated, it is of no value. Then you have to engage. Engage means there is a place opened for you to exercise your gift. A place open for you to train your gift. And then we give you an assignment. You are assigned. You have a place that is open for you to serve. Somebody say amen. So if you have been in church for so long and you are still sitting in a pew, there is something that is missing, because there is an area, a place of assignment where your gift is waiting. And we also said in time, there is the idea of inception. When you become aware of the gift, something is conceived in you. There is a manifestation, which is the development process. And then there is the fullness in time. But I want to speak about understanding the way of the gifts. We said part number two. And I want to start this from a very familiar passage of scripture, from Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse number 1 to verse number 4. We're going to make references to some of those verses as we go along. Isaiah 61, verse number 1, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Isaiah 61, verse number 4 says, "And that they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." We were on a trip to New Orleans. It was a strange trip that we went to. We thought we were going to have a ministry trip, and we went to meet one of our friends, Apostle Reggie Wilson. And we went there, it was like a four-day trip via Global Force. So when we went there, as soon as we got into New Orleans, they put us on a fast. It was like on a Monday, so we're coming back on the Sunday. They put us on a fast. We were so hungry for that season. We were so hungry. And, you know, you hear about the New Orleans gumbo, and you're saying, "I'm looking forward to it, and they put you on a fast, and they say you're going to get your gumbo on Sunday. But when we were there, the Lord began to reveal certain things to us. And for me specifically, he reminded me of Isaiah 61, verse number 4. And Isaiah 61, verse number 4 became very significant, that the people that are being ministered to by the anointing or by the gift have an assignment that they have to do. And Isaiah 61, verse number 4, and says, and they shall build. They are the ones who have been healed, the ones who have been restored, the ones who have been given the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So if you are being ministered to by the anointing, it's not just for you to say you have been ministered to by the anointing or by the gift. It's because there is an assignment. Now, I love this part. Dr. Hurd has spoken about this several times, and every time he mentions that, I'm writing notes, and now I remember it by head. He said that there are three entities of revelation. Number one is Israel. God will speak to us through the nation of Israel. And then he said number two is the church as an entity of revelation, and number three is the kingdom. So there are three things: Israel, the church, and the kingdom. Everything is in a progressive order. Revelation, Israel reveals the church, and the church reveals and points you towards the kingdom. Now, we're going to tie all that together with what we want to do tonight. We speak about the tabernacle of Moses. It had the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place, or the holiest of holies. In there, you have the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold. In there, you have Israel, you have the church, and you have the kingdom. And we'll say it again, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. As you are progressing, entering the tabernacle of Moses, as you are progressing towards the most holy place, your distance, which is the proximity, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The closer you are to God, the greater the return, the 100%. So, if we are speaking about spiritual gifts, each progression speaks of proximity. The closer you are to God, the more productive you are,
the greater the manifestation and the pronouncement of your gift. So the closer you are, if you want to operate in power, in the fullness of the gift that God has given you, you have to get closer and closer. You cannot operate in the fullness of the gift whilst you are in the outer court. You're only operating in the 30-fold. And you, when you get in the inner court, you're operating in the 60-fold. But when you get into the most holy place, in the most holy place, your gift that you are carrying, it's going to get good just now. There are training levels that I was looking for an example of how to really explain how it works. And the only thing that I can find that really tries to bring the concept across is what I call the apprenticeship model. Back in the days when you're going to in engineering field, they give you go into an apprenticeship. In an apprenticeship, from my understanding of the British way of doing things, that is my background of education, you get in as an apprentice. From the apprentice, depending on how many years you serve, you get into being a journeyman. From being a journeyman, you become a master based on the number of years that you have served. When you look at the apprenticeship level, they sometimes break them into four levels. Apprenticeship level number one, number two, number three, number four, as you are progressing and going in. Now, here's the thing. You and I know the example. I didn't put it in my notes, but I think everybody knows here. How many of us know Elijah? Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, after fleeing from Jezebel and complaining, was given the instruction by God, go and anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your stead. When Elijah went in, Elisha was plowing. Elijah took his mantle and placed it on Elisha, and Elisha received the call from God. But Elisha did not become a prophet there and then. Elisha sold everything that he had. He killed whatever he was plowing with, offered it up as a sacrifice, and they all ate it. He used the plow as the burn, as the wood to bring the burnt sacrifice. But, and anyone is saying goodbye to his father and his mother, and he became a servant of Elijah. He became an apprentice of Elijah. Even though heaven has already made a decree that Elisha is going to be the prophet serving in Elijah's stead. But he served Elijah for almost 7 years as an apprentice. 7 years. And in those 7 years, all that is remembered about him is the one who poured water on Elijah's hands. He is known as a servant of Elijah, even though God called him to be a prophet in the stead of Elijah, which means you are going to get into an apprenticeship model. You are going to have to serve. You serve the gift of what you are going to become. So you have to serve it. Here's the thing. You're going to see as we go along the notes. You are going to have to become a bond servant to the gift. The idea of bond servant is this. You are not being forced. You willingly become a servant. All right. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me. Jesus saying, I did not anoint myself. I did not anoint myself. It was by somebody else who anointed me, who appointed me. So this gift is not coming from me. That's the first thing that you have to acknowledge. You are not the source of the gift. I mentioned last week that school has begun. This is lesson 101. You are not the originator of the gift. It is coming from God. That means you don't know how to work this gift. You don't know how to operate this gift. It is coming from God. who knows all things. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the gift is coming from God. And James here makes the reference that this gift is coming from the Father of lights. There is a reason. God is light. He does not have any fellowship with darkness. So the mysteries of your gift are not found in darkness, because God does not have fellowship with darkness. He is the Father of lights. In Proverbs it says, it is the glory of God to hide a thing, and the honor of kings to search out a matter. Now you have to understand, because God does not have fellowship with darkness, He does not hide things in darkness. He hides things in light. So if you want to understand the fullness of your gift, can I just get an amen where somebody says, come to the light. Come to the light. You don't find the operation manual for your gift in the club. You find it in light. Now here's the thing. He says, He has anointed me too. There is a reason why you are anointed. There is a reason why you are given a gift. It's not just for you to say, I am gifted. There is a specific assignment. What is the assignment of your gift? Genesis 1:28. I call it the Genesis 1:28 mandate, which is, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So that mandate has not changed. You are given a gift by God because there is the assignment to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to subdue, to have dominion. So you have that gift. That was God's original idea. But man fell when Adam sinned against God. So there was something that was added to the assignment of your gift. You hear this word in church so many times. It's called the redemptive gift. It's a gift that God is using for the redemption of man. 1 Corinthians 12 said what? For the perfecting of the saints. So your gift that you are being given by God, besides the Genesis 1:28 mandate, the gift also has a redemptive purpose, which is a purpose for the redemption of man. What is redemption? Redeeming man back to God. Bringing man back to God. Now here's the thing. When we are speaking about this, it did not mention anything about you. That means the gift is not designed to minister to you. It's designed to minister to. The gift will make room for you, not for you to be rich and super wealthy, but the gift will make room for you because of the redemptive assignment. Our problem is we get so holy and mighty. We want to be like the Hollywood elite with our gifts. And we're expecting people to be serving us. But our gifts are meant to be serving them. But as you are serving them, remember, you are not the master of the gift. The Holy Spirit is the master of the gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it one to another. So your gift is not to make you super rich. Your gift is to minister to somebody else. Now, the significance of your gift, remember we said outer court, inner court, most holy place. We said what? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We spoke about Israel, the church, and the kingdom. Your gift is only going to find significance in the context of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14. But it is what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you cannot operate your gift without the Holy Spirit, because it is in the context of what? The kingdom. I know that the gifts of God are without repentance, but the driving force of your gift is the Holy Spirit. So you can be gifted, but there is no driving fuel to your gift because the Holy Spirit is not there. Here's the thing. You are not the one who heals. You are not the one who prophesies. It is the Spirit of God who is speaking through you. It is the Spirit of God who is healing through you. In actual fact, it is God who's operating the miraculous through you because of His Spirit. Now, because it has to have the context of the kingdom, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." So no matter how gifted you are, the assignment of you seeking the kingdom of God has never changed. So your gift is going to put you on a process that you have to seek the kingdom of God. You have to seek the righteousness of God. It's not for you to say, "I have found it." It is for it to change you, to conform you, to bring you under the authority and the power of our God. If you are operating under the authority and the power of your God, you do not do things out of your own will. You do things according to the will of the Father. "I am here to do the will of my Father, because He is the one who has anointed me. What I see Him do is what I do. What I see, what I hear Him say is what I say." So no matter how gifted you are, no matter how many Shandai Andais you can say, if God says be quiet, you have to be quiet. If God says "I am not going to heal this one," God will not heal. No matter how many times you roll on the floor, no matter how many times you cry, it is to the volition of God. And here's the thing, God does everything according to the counsel of His own will. I'm going to say it again. God does everything according to the counsel of His own will. That simply means don't be jealous of somebody who has been given a gift by God, because God does not need to consult you for the gift He's going to place on somebody else. It is by the will of God. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, how long you have been in the kingdom, how long you have been out there. As long as you are here and God makes up His mind that there is a gift coming upon you, nobody can change it. Because I want to say this and I'm almost done, because my time is up. Time is almost up. You see, our problem in the church is God can choose any generation He wants to use. God can choose any age He wants to use. See, David was the youngest, and according to genealogy, he was not supposed to be the king. But God says it is David who is going to be king. By the will of God, all David was doing was worshiping God, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God says, "I like that one. I am going to place the gift on that one." If you become jealous of the gift that God has placed on somebody else, you are saying God has made a mistake. Because you are saying, "God, I am more qualified than they are," but God's saying, "I know your heart." Because God does not look at the, He looks at what? Key factors to your gifts. Number one, you cannot escape this. Relationship. Just say it again. Relationship. Can we say it one more time? If you can take one thing from this lesson this evening, you cannot escape relationship. No matter how gifted you are, relationship. Which means we have to talk to God once in a while. And talking to God once in a while is not always in a crowd. Because sometimes in church we hide in crowds. But God wants to talk to you a mano a mano, one on one. Some of us are afraid of silence. But how many of us know intimacy cannot be developed in a crowd? I like that word that they used to use in the back in the days. Prayer closet. Just you, one on one with God. How can you carry a gift and you don't know how to pray? Because in prayer, you learn to hear the voice of the shepherd. You learn to hear the voice of the master. You learn to hear the voice of the administrator of the gift. Because the administrator knows the limitations and everything else. And this is the final one. I've already talked about the Holy Spirit. It's the final one. The O word, the big O. Obedience. Obedience. Your gift is so crucial to the working of the kingdom of God. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience means I cannot do what I want to do. I have to do what God wants to be done. Now, here's the thing. If you're walking in obedience and you say, God, you have called me and I accept this calling. No mission impossible. Should you choose to accept, God, I choose this gift. I receive it. It is going to manifest in me and through me. And God says, okay, right now you don't have the capacity to carry the gift. So we're going to put you on a 30-day workout program. You're going to be lifting some weights. You're going to be building some muscle. You're going to have to be one with the forehead like a flintstone. That elasticity has got two points that are critical. It has got what they call the point. It's got what we call the breaking point. Breaking point. If you are stretched to the breaking point, if you go beyond it, you break. But there is another point that is there, which is your stretching point. You can be stretched that point. You cannot go back to what you used to be. You adapt to the new length. Let me give you an example. Next week, when we come back, the week after, we're going to do some case studies of how God allowed some people to grow and develop. We'll look at Elisha and Elijah, Moses and Joshua. We'll look at Paul and Timothy. But I want to just give you this little hint. Simon Peter, the enemy has desired to sift you. In actual fact, the devil has made a demand in heaven that you are going to be sifted. And Jesus said, I cannot pray for this to be broken, to be taken away from you. But I have prayed that your faith will not fail. So some of you are going to be stretched to the yielding point whereby I cannot go back to what I used to be like, but I am not going to break. You are going to be stretched to your yielding point because God is saying, I have to build the capacity for your gift. How is it going to happen? Haters are going to come. People are going to despise your youthfulness in that gift. But Jesus said, I have prayed that your faith will not fail. But you better have the faith in you. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? Hearing by what? Hearing by what? Men shall not live by, but by what? From where? From the mouth. So you cannot live by any word, but there is a specific word that is coming from the mouth of God. I know that time is up. We will continue next time on that. But can I just pray for you before Pastor Joe comes? My wife said to me several years ago, he says, I'm a Pentecostal child. Because I'm a Pentecostal child, if I'm praying, I better hear you pray. So can we all stand? We're going to pray, but you have to open up your mouth and pray. Ask for God to stretch you to your yielding point that you are not going to break because your gift needs it. Father, in the name that is above any other name, we acknowledge your God. Indeed, the heavens are your throne and the earth is your footstool. You have dominion, authority, and power. You are the one who has given us gifts. You are the one who gives us authority to operate and function in those gifts. Father, tonight we yield ourselves to you and say, God, have your way in us. Give us the strength, O God, to be able to stand as you are stretching us to our yielding point. Father, you know how much we can bear. Allow us, O God, to be able to get to that point where we can become the full expression of the gifts you have placed upon us. Father, you have called us to prophesy, to declare things, O God, to do supernatural things, O God, but we cannot do them without you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Take your proper place in our lives. You are the one who leads and guides us into all truth. Do your work in us. Do your work in us. Reveal the word of God in us that we may walk truthfully to what God has allowed us to walk in. And Father, when we begin to operate in the fullness of our gifts, we must be careful to know that all glory and all honor and all praise belong to you. They belong to you. They belong to you. They belong to you. Father, I thank you for the magnitude of gifts that are in this room. I thank you, O God, for trusting us to be stewards of whatever you have given us. In the name of the author and the finisher of our faith, the high priest of our confession, the captain of our salvation, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen.